Indonesia has long been Australia's biggest customer for live cattle, but at the moment, this crucial trade is doing it pretty tough. The Indonesia-Australia Red Meat and Cattle Partnership has just released its mid-year update on the state of the industry, and the report, it highlights a number of issues, ranging from the pandemic to problems caused by the high Aussie cattle price and evidence of feedlots going out of business completely. This afternoon, we're joined by Troy Setter, who's the Chief Executive of the Consolidated Pastoral Company, and he's also a member of the Indonesia-Australia Red Meat Partnership. Thanks for your time this afternoon.
Thanks, Matt. Great to be with you again.
What's your take on how the live export trade to Indonesia is going right now?
Look, Matt, it's absolutely fair to say and stark for everyone involved that the cattle price out of Australia is exceptionally high. Due to the ongoing impacts of several years of drought where the herd is depleted. And I think the difference between the 19 drought and previous droughts is the whole of the Australian herd got depleted. And we're seeing some really stiff competition from other markets and southern restocking that's been pulling cattle out of the Northern Territory, out of the Kimberley and out of North Queensland down south. And also at the start of the year to other markets like Vietnam. So there's less volume, the price is up, and that's really impacting the trade. On top of that, there's challenges with COVID. I think beef is certainly a loved product in Indonesia, and local beef and Aussie beef that's fresh is loved. And but we are seeing less weddings, less parties, less gatherings and celebrations, and that's often where red meat, particularly fresh beef, is served. And so the high cattle price and the demand challenges have really challenged the trade at this time.
On the price, the live cattle price out of Darwin since about November, I think it is, has been above $4 a kilo. So it's obviously causing problems at the Indonesian end, but do you really see that price changing much anytime soon?
Look, I don't see it changing until, at earliest, Matt, April, May next year, unless there's some sort of extreme event. I think it's a discussion for another day, but I think we all took a bit of a sigh of relief this week when the two atypical cases of BSE in Brazil were found to sort of have no other baggage, and China and Brazil have been able to open up their case. So unless there's something sort of left field, I see high prices for a while. And I also see that could flow well into next year, but it'll be at least until the start of the dry season next year until we see that sort of more supply come onto the market.
So what can Indonesian feedlots do then?
So look, the Indonesian feedlots have not only been challenged by high cattle prices, they've been challenged by COVID and market challenges and high feed prices, and then the cross rates of the Aussie dollar, US dollar and IDR have been a challenge as well. That said, though, it's not all doom and gloom. June was a really big month of cattle that went to Indonesia. There's been some bigger numbers in July, August and September, and out to the rest of the year are looking a bit quieter. But we've seen some feedlotters in Indonesia really focus on the efficiency of the operations, cost cutting, making sure that they're really hitting the most tighter specification they can for their butchers so that the butchers can afford to pay. And we've seen some good innovation since COVID started with internet deliveries of meat and trying to fit into home deliveries and things like that for red meat that have meant that some of the feedlots have been able to weave their way through it. We've also seen solid demand for cows out of Northern Australia going to Indonesia to try and average the price. So
right.
Not only have we seen high feeder steer prices at over $4, we've seen cows push over $3 this year, but those cows on a cents per kilo basis and kilos of meat have been cheaper, and that's allowed some of the feedlotters to average their product. And we've also seen the butchers in Indonesia doing a bit more blending. So there's certainly blending of Indian buffalo meat with Aussie live cattle offal. And that's gone into some of the further value added products like Buxo balls, and that's been able to manage that price challenge a bit and help some of the importers and the meat traders in Indonesia work their way through this time.
Is that a good news story though for the Australian cattle industry to hear Aussie meat getting blended with Indian buffalo?
Look, it's been happening for years, for a very long time. You could look at it and say that's not a good story, but if they weren't able to take that cheaper buffalo and mix it with the offal from Australian cattle, that wouldn't allow them to pay the prices they've been paying for Australian cattle. So it's I think it's a bit of a necessary evil. It's value adding the offal from Australian cattle, and it's allowing exporters to pay the rates that they need to pay for cattle in Northern Australia. We shouldn't over focus that it's the only thing that's being done, but it's one of many things that the importers in Indonesia have had to innovate and look at to remain competitive and keep buying Australian cattle.
This report says three Indonesian feedlots have been mothballed and four have permanently shut down. How damaging is that going forward?
Look, I think going forward that that could be damaging. At the moment, you know, there's the feedlots that are up there that are still open aren't full. So we're not seeing a sort of drop off in competition or not being able to fill demand situation. Look, going forward, when the herd gets bigger in Northern Australia, and if we do get, or not if, when we get drought conditions again, and live export really takes up the slack. You know, if you look at the big droughts of 08, 09, 18, 19, through Northern Australia, it's where live export really stepped in and took a lot of unfinished cattle and additional cattle. Those feedlots do take up some of that space. That said, I've spoken to a couple of feedlots that are shut in Indonesia and have said that they're permanently shut. And, you know, a couple of them have said, look, if the Aussie cattle price comes back down and the margin comes back into it, they'll look to reopen. And then there's a few feedlots that are, you know, in a bit of a generational time or a different ownership sort of structure that are looking for growth, that are looking to develop and grow their businesses. And they've been able to take market share and will take market share from as the industry, you know, regrows again from some of those feedlots that have closed.
You mentioned a moment ago those two atypical cases of BSE. It does seem, thankfully, isolated cases and trade can resume. Beef Central yesterday reported that Indonesia has halted its beef imports from Brazil. What have you heard in that space?
Yeah, I've heard that Indonesia's suspended those imports. I mean, Indonesia was planning on taking about 20,000 tonnes of Brazilian beef this year, which is half or thereabouts in average numbers over average years of what Australia sends in box beef. So, look, it's a reasonable amount, 20,000 tonnes. It's not huge. I think, to be brutally honest, the amount of meat that's actually come in has been less than 2% of the imports of beef, live cattle and local product together. Mm. I don't think we'll notice that in Indonesia today.
And given it seems China and the Brazil trade is expected to resume soonish, would you also expect that maybe trade with Indonesia will follow suit?
I think it could. I think it could. At this stage, we haven't seen Brazil sort of, you know, deliver large amounts of cheap meat or disrupt any meat programs in Indonesia. But you know, Brazil gives the Indonesian importers and the Indonesian people flexibility and also other options, and they'll always continue to look for those other options. And that's where we always need to have a safe product, whether it's live cattle or box beef, and a quality product, so that we can be competitive and have a good value proposition.
So, as you said, tough times for the trade right now. What gives you optimism about the coming years?
Look, for me, you know, the Indonesian population is, you know, circa 260 million people, so it's one of the bigger populations in the world. In the next sort of 15 years or so, their economy's tipped to make it into sort of the top five economies in the world. And, you know, there's huge consumer demand for food in Indonesia. They love red meat. They love Australian red meat. We won't be the only supplier to this massive market. And I think, you know, the other thing that sits on top of that is if you look at how Indonesia's recovered from whether it was, you know, Asian financial crises or environmental crises or other challenging situations, it's been very, very quick. And the resilience and resilient nature of the culture of the people is exciting, and so I'm pretty confident about the opportunities in the future for Indonesia with us, for Australian suppliers and cattle producers.